Spirit Radio Podcasts.
You know, for children who have been away from school, 6 months is a pretty long time. And I'd imagine that for different children, there's been different impacts and depending on their age and how isolated they've been. And as well, you know, for children, for example, starting big school, you know, starting into secondary school, that have missed that whole part of the last half of sixth class, things like that, that are particularly challenging. You know, they were sent home from school one day and then 6 months later, they haven't returned. But school is just around the corner. So there's a lot to think about how children are going to adapt as well to new practices and what school is going to look like. And I'm sure it'll be exciting, but it's also a time of adjustment and anxiety for everybody, for our children and for parents as well. On the line to give us some advice on managing this next new phase, we have Patricia Fitzpatrick, who's a psychologist and involved with effectiveparenting.ie. Patricia, thanks for joining us on the programme.
You're welcome, Wendy.
Okay, so in terms of just anticipating and planning ahead as children hopefully start to return to school from next week, what are some of the things that we should be thinking about to prepare our children and ourselves as well?
Well, I mean, you mentioned it there, Wendy, when you said planning ahead. And it really is about, you know, the schools, as far as I know, have been very good at letting parents know what to expect. And then it's the parents' job to talk to the children about that. And as you said, you have children who would be starting school, you have children who had who started last year and then it all stopped. And then you have children of different ages returning to school. But I think there's a few things to keep in mind. First of all, if you know, the school should let you know if they don't find out what's going to be different. You know, are they going to be in little groups? Are they going to be in pods? Are they going, you know, what's going, are they, also about how much socialising they can do. Are they allowed to socialise with, you know, a small number of children? Also about the teachers. Will teachers be wearing masks? Things like that. I also think that, of course, we have to remember that children are very smart and they've been living with COVID-19 for the past however many months, 6 months now. So they know quite a bit about this. So, you know, that conversation, those conversations will have had been taken place over the past 6 months. Now it's slightly different because we're talking about school. But another thing, Wendy, I think we have to keep in mind, and this applies anyway, it's about anxiety. You know, children will cope with anything once they can feel that the adults around them are in charge and in control. Once they can trust the adults and they know that the adults, that they're in charge and also that the adults are up for the challenge.
So is that a case of us, Patricia, as parents, even if we are a bit anxious or whatever, you almost have to kind of keep that anxiety behind closed doors between mum and dad rather than kind of letting your kids feel it?
Absolutely. And again, like, it's not about totally keeping the anxiety behind closed doors. I mean, it's perfectly okay to say to children, look, I'm a little bit anxious about this as well. However, this is what I'm doing in order that this is how I'm preparing and this lessens my anxiety. You see, Wendy, every challenge that we encounter, and we don't protect our children from challenges. What we do is we support them through it. This is how we build resilience.
And resilience is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a great opportunity to build that resilience in the children. You know, for the adults and for older adults like me, I mean, we've never encountered anything like this. For you, who are much younger, you know, you're encountering something that those of us in our 60s and late 60s and 70s, I mean, was anybody alive in 1918? Well, there are a few that are still alive today. But, you know, but for younger people and for people of your age and for, you know, it's not as you know, jaw-dropping as it is for somebody of my age, quite frankly.
I know, because you're looking at just how unique and unprecedented this is. Let's start with kind of children who are starting in primary school, Patricia. And, you know, you've got children who are starting primary school for the first time, or I've really felt for children who started in junior infants last year, they're getting into a routine, a whole new world. Then they're back at home at mum and dad for 6 months, getting a lot of one-on-one time, I'd imagine, and now back into school again. There's been a lot of different kind of adapting to different routines, and now is it just about readapting all over again?
Absolutely. And children are fabulous at this. I mean, the core thing to keep in mind here is the reason why children have parents is that the parents are there to support them, to protect them, not to overprotect them. And that's what's really important, but to be there to coach them through this. So yes, they've had this interruption, and there's been good things about it, Wendy. Sometimes I've been quite cross throughout the past 6 months, because sometimes in the media it's been all about the bad sides of this and the negative impact that it is having on children and families. And in a lot of cases, actually, I've heard a lot of parents talk about the positive impacts. They've had more time with the children. So, and that's something that you can, that's gold dust, you know, providing you spend it, you know, in a good way.
And probably something we'll look back on with happiness and thinking of all the memories. And I know my husband saying, wow, this time around with this baby, I got to see the first steps. I got to see all these things, and seeing the development during that time was incredible. But that's what some children might find hard. You know, they've had all this one-on-one time and then, boom, they're in primary school and they might get, would they get separation anxiety, or is that what we should be preparing for?
Not necessarily, because you see, Wendy, the fact that they've had that time, all that time is building our children towards being stronger, more resilient. You know, the less stress that's in a child's life, the better it is for the child. And it's really interesting that you say that, like, you know, is that going to be a problem? Because I've had some parents talk to me during this time whose children, you know, have struggled at school for various reasons. And they've been concerned about them going back to school and how will they cope. And this was much earlier on in this pandemic. And I have said to them, look, let the child enjoy the time that they're having now, because this stress-free time, you know, is going to be really important. Build resources for them that then they will, you know, you have to remember that a child's development happens minute by minute, you know, hour by hour, day by day. And it's all towards building this child to eventually be somebody who can stand on their own two feet, go out there into the world and be the adult who's going to protect them
and build that resilience.
Support.
Then in terms of managing children who are anxious about going back to school, they might be anxious about lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to kind of talk to them about it?
The best thing is to do is to find out what they're anxious about. You know, and you've said it there too, Wendy, you know, to talk to them. As adults and parents, we're often very good at talking at our children rather than listening to. So it is, of course, if you have a child and that child is, you know, anxious, you should be having this conversation anyway and saying to the child, look, what is it, what are you looking forward to about going back to school? You know, I'd start with that, really. And then, you know, what are you a bit anxious about? And then looking at what the child is anxious about and helping the child, working with the child in a collaborative way about how they can lessen that anxiety. And there's a lot of good news there, Wendy, that we can share with the children. You know, they I was just listening to Luke O'Neill today, and there's really good news for young people, for children in particular. This disease is one that doesn't, you know, the vast majority of children, it's very minimal. You know, even for adults under the age of 50, it seems to be that it's quite a, you know, I'm not saying it mightn't be a...
But yeah, it's about putting it in perspective and kind of and saying, you know, it's really important that you wash your hands and cough like Batman into your elbow or whatever way you put it. But, you know, that you're going to really enjoy being back with your friends, you hope, and kind of talk to them that way positively.
Absolutely. While at the same time not minimising their fears, but this is where the listening comes in. And they're not just listening for what the child says, but how they say it. And then where we can present them, again, it's about being honest. Look, being honest with our children. And again, I've had, you know, some people on to me about that, how they should talk to the children in the early days about the pandemic. And very often, you know, we know what we should do, but we're kind of afraid to do it because we're afraid we're doing the wrong thing. You're never doing the wrong thing when you're honest with the child, but you're also remembering the age and stage of the child. So you're giving them little bits of information that they, and giving them time to process it. And you're there if they have more questions.
So what about, Patricia, then, children who are older, a little, so, you know, probably seven up, where as they get older, social interaction and kind of development with their peers gets more and more important, who've had a lack of that social interaction. So on the one hand, they might be looking forward to it, but on the other hand, they might be also anxious about it, you know, being thrust back into that school situation.
And that, and again, there is a balance to be struck here. You know, children, especially, as you say, the children in that age group between 6 and, you know, 11 or 12, you know, it is all about the friends. Well, it is all about the friends after that as well, too. But this is the time, it's kind of quiet period, you know, when they play together and they have fun together. And it's a stress-free period, usually, in their development. But now, so for those children who haven't had that interaction, it is going back to that. And it is talking to them about the little safety things that you'll do, like the coughing into the elbow, like the washing the hands. But again, you need to find out from the school, who are they going to be, you know, who are they going to be socialising with in the school? You know, what's going to be the rules around that? Because what we don't want is to make the children more anxious that they're, you know, they want to approach the friend, but they're afraid to approach the friend. So, and the other thing, I suppose, as well, too, Wendy, which is really important is, you know, children often, when they're displaying anxiety, the anxiety is not about something to do with the child. The anxiety can often be that the child is anxious about something to do with the parent. So we're back to managing our own anxiety and not, you know, what sometimes happens is that the child feels concerned or worried for the parent. So if you are a parent with an underlying issue or some health issue, you need to, you know, have reassured the child that you are taking the precautions you need to take, that that's your responsibility and you're doing it so that you will be okay.
And Patricia, that's, in terms of, that's an important point that sometimes the child is anxious about something we wouldn't have expected. But obviously children have different personalities and some might talk when you try to talk to them. Others, maybe because of their age, they feel anxious but they don't know why, or others are just don't communicate as well. What are signs that parents should look out for to kind of keep their eyes open to make sure their children are coping well or not?
Well, again, Wendy, this is about, you know, it's not just what the child says, it's how the child is, how they're behaving. And I mean, one of the big ones with children as well, too, that lets us know if there is something going on that they're not able to talk or they're not talking to us about, is the night time. You know, is there more anxiety at night time? Are they sleeping less well? And maybe they go back to wetting the bed. And this all tells us that there's, you know, the child is anxious about something. And then it is, as we would advise anyway, it's simply saying to the child, look, I've noticed such and such a thing has changed. Could it be that you're anxious about something? And then, you know, listening to the child. If the child feels that they're going to be heard and that they're not going, that their concern is not going to be dismissed, sometimes parents, with the best will in the world, we dismiss the child's concern. We say, oh, look, it'll be grand. You're fine. You're grand. As opposed to saying, oh, gosh, yeah, I can see you. Poor thing. Yeah, you're worried about that. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I can understand how you'd be worried about that. Now, let me see. What can we do about it? You know, so that you don't dismiss. You don't say, look, you're going to be fine.
And if they're not able to communicate to you, Patricia, just finally to ask you, let's say you're noticing there's been waking up at night or nightmares or, as you say, other manifestations, bedwetting or, you know, pulling hair or different things where you know there's something going on in their little head and you try to talk to them and you're trying to get them to explain, but they don't give you any more feedback, you know. What's the best way to comfort them and manage it?
Be aware, you know, your child needs you, you're there, you can, again, it is about, you know, it's not about interrogation, and you want to be careful from that, but it is saying, look, I notice you're a little bit worried about something. And then, if the child is not willing to talk to you about it, what's really important, Wendy, always is that we, you know, what will make it better, what makes you feel better, and parents will be very good at knowing what it is that the child enjoys. So it might be just having a game, and, you know, children are brilliant at expressing one way or another, whether it's their drawing, you know, whether it's in their play, and parents have talked to me about children in relation to their play. And another thing is, Wendy, and I'm conscious that we're on a Christian radio station, but I think every child and all of us do have some way in which we cope better with stress. And for some children, you know, and for the children who are listening, for the parents who are listening to us now, you know, faith is probably quite an important part of their lives. So perhaps having a little prayer with the children, and it could be a great way, actually, of helping the children. You know, maybe having a little prayer that you say, now, not one, just being careful that you don't overemphasize and make the children worried. But, you know, putting your trust in something outside yourself can be an absolutely wonderful way of helping the child, and a great thing to bring into the future. We're talking about resilience, because we're all going to experience things that are going to concern us, worry us, that we're going to feel are outside of our control. And if there is somebody or something that we can pass that on to, it lessens the load. So that could be something that you would maybe, you know, have with the child who's not talking to you, the child who, you know, you're finding it hard, you know what's going on, but they're not talking about it. Maybe you have to make, if, you know, that's something that will help the child. For other children, it could be, you know, more physical activity, drawing for children. And we know that they very often will draw their fears out. And then you can actually talk about whatever it is that they've drawn.
But it's, go from there. Well, and it's getting them talking. Really good advice, Patricia. That's great. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme today. That is Patricia Fitzpatrick there. And you can find out more about Patricia. She's a psychologist, and website is effectiveparenting.ie.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.